Thank you all for being here. Let's go ahead and get Sunday morning service started. Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor, and we thank you for the opportunity to be in the house of God with the people, God. We don't take it lightly, Lord, that we have our health, our wisdom, our abilities to function, Father, in our bodies. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you've given us this another day. I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, that are not here, that are home. I command their bodies to come into alignment with the word of God, which says, by his stripes we are healed. Enemy, take your hands upon off of their lives, off of their bodies, body that they dwell in, the holy temple that they dwell in this earth. I command you to come in alignment with that word of God. In Jesus' name. Father, we pray your blessing upon each and every facet of this service, Lord. Let it be to glory and edify the name of Jesus. For the Bible says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Father, I submit myself as a willing vessel to you. Let my words be your words. Let my thoughts be your thoughts. Let nothing of this person exist except for the Holy Spirit. And let your word, your truth come forth today. Bless each and every singer that's singing, musician that's playing, every teacher that's teaching, and the pastor as he brings forth the word, that it go forth and be a blessing to the hearers and the doers, Father Jesus. Let the chains be broken, the strongholds be teared down, Father, and let us walk boldly upon this earth as the men and women of God that we are called to be, an army. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week we talked about sanctify yourself, and this week all I could hear was circumcised heart. If you want a heart that God can use, if you want to be a people, a person that God can use, you not only have to sanctify yourself, but you have to go through the surgical procedure of circumcision of the heart. That is the type of heart that God can use. And God blesses us as his children. We are always blessed by him. But when he comes to do the surgery in the heart, is the most painful thing in the world, because that is something that people do not see. That's what's on the inside. And they don't understand your thoughts and the things that go through your minds, and your emotions are seated there. And so God is always surgically, from the day you accept him to the day you take your last breath and join him in heaven, there is always a surgery going on called the circumcision of the heart. But if you want to be a person that God can use, this too is something that we have to do to be usable by God. It's being a teachable person. Now, last week we talked about Joshua 3, and I read about the sanctify themselves. I want to go ahead and finish out the rest of this and take it on into chapter 5 from 3, because there's so many things I want to share with you that God has showed me, and I don't want to leave anything out, and I know that it will be a blessing, because God's word is never returns void. Verse 7 of Joshua 3, it says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I am with thee. And they shall command, and thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgazites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you in the Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribe of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand up a heap. And it shall come to pass, and it came to pass when the people were moved from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people. And as they that bear the ark were come unto the Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam that is beside Zetam. And those that came down toward the sea of the plains, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. I want to talk briefly about some of the points of this scripture. The ark went before them, which was the presence of God. It was the covenant of God. It was the jar of manna, the budded staff of Aaron, and of course, the written law that was there. And Deuteronomy 31 and 8 says, "The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." Romans 8 and 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for the good of those who are called." Ephesians 2 and 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in." So when God calls you to cross over something that looks terrible, that is frightening, that is ominous. And I grew up in a rural county, and I remember the floodings, and I remember Daddy packing us out in water up to his hips and him carrying us on his shoulders just to keep us out of the water, the floodwaters. Have you seen a rushing river? That's a scary thing. It's loud. My husband and I were at the ocean when a hurricane come up on land. It didn't even come real close to us. It was like way down there, but the waters were ominous, and they come up close to where we were staying. They overflowed their normal banks, and you could stand and look, and there is the water, and it's dark, and the winds are blowing, and it's just a howling, and it's just a scary thing. But when he calls you to a place that you are uncomfortable with, know that he has gone before you. He has all, it's a promise. It is a promise. It is a blessing to us in the Bible that we have that promise. Notice who's carrying the ark. It's the priest. Let me tell you, you are the priest. You remember 1 Peter 2 and 9 says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Don't think that this kind of stuff is only for the preachers and the teachers and the pastors and the singers. No, it is for every child of God. You are a royal priest. Royal priest. Notice that the priest had to get their feet wet. And so do you sometimes. God ain't going to part the waters all the time when you walk over on dry land. Sometimes you have to get wet. Sometimes it gets a little messy in your life. Sometimes the things that he's trying to work out of your life and make things right for you gets a little wet. You get a little wet. You step out. They had to get their feet in the water before it rose up. Isn't that amazing? Revelation 19 and 13 says, it talked about him being dipped in the edge of the water. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. That is Revelation speaking of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4 says, "Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Sometimes what you're going through is not just to fix you and help you. It's to help those that are coming up behind you. those in your life that need hope, maybe not just your family, maybe people you're connected to, people that you're going to witness to. You sometimes have to get in the water so that they can walk through on the dry land. Another thing that I noticed, it heaped up at the city of Adam. That was about 20 miles away. They estimate about 20 miles. So 20 miles away, it was standing on end at this place called Adam, this city called Adam. And then the waters dried up that went down to the Dead Sea. That's where it flows into the Dead Sea. Could you imagine the people at that city walking out one day and there's this river and it's heaped up and just standing still awaiting the command of God to be released? Could you imagine Jericho? Because they were crossing right at Jericho. The people of Jericho were already afraid of them. But could you walk out one day and look over the city wall and see the waters dried up and 40,000 people crossing on dry land? This water was overflowing because it was harvest time and there was lots of rain. Could you imagine how they felt? Let me tell you, when God goes before you, He goes before you. He puts the fear in the enemy. But a lot of times He bluffs us out when we should be walking in this victory. The other thing, the waters cut off to the Salt Sea. That was the Dead Sea. You know, the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin and our judgment and righteousness. It guides and directs us into paths of righteousness. We don't ever want our waters to flow to the Dead Sea. We want to be sensitive to the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. And I know it's painful. That's painful sometimes, especially when it's deep. It's a deep cut. But it's what we do. We are called always to be the light, to shine before men, as Matthew says, a city set on the hill. It's wonderful. And then if we go over to the next chapter, because of the time, I won't read everything, but it says that they all passed over clean, and it said there was about 40,000 went over, but He sent 12 men back in to get a stone from the middle of the Jordan. And the 12 men, they pulled the stones out, and they carried them on their shoulders. Again, you're walking in places that are hard, and people are needing hope. And you're a living testimony to that. They took those stones and they made an altar, a remembrance of what God had done there at the Jordan. And it says, when your children ask about this, tell them the story that God not only dried up the Red Sea, but He dried up the Jordan for us to cross over into the land that we have been promised. And Joshua and 1 Peter 2 and 5, and I want to read this to you. It talks about who you are as a child of God. You are the living temple of God, but you are also, in one version it says, lively stones or living stones. 1 Peter 2 and 5 says, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, there's that word again, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. That is the King James Version. ESV calls it living stones. You are living stones. Living stones. Does your life exemplify a living stone of God? It requires a little bit of surgery sometimes, doesn't it? So they have crossed over. Let's go to the last chapter that I want to talk about today, and that's Joshua 5. Let me read this story to you. And this is not just a story, this is fact. And it came to pass when all the kings and Amorites which were on the side of Jordan westward and all the kings of the Canaanites which were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their hearts melted, neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of God. You wonder why you walk around and people have such a problem with you? It's because the God of all, the God of gods, the God of everything, is walking in your life and living in your life, and what's in them does not like what's in you. Sometimes you've not even talked to them, not even said anything to them, and they already have an attitude with you. It's because of what the favor of God is on your life, and they see it, and their hearts have melted within them because they serve a God who is inferior. And at that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the heel of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise all the people that came out of Egypt that were males. Even all the men of war died in the wilderness, by the way, after they came out of Egypt. And now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness, by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their place in the camp till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at the eve in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. The manna had sustained them until they come into their promise, and then they had the promise of the land. But I want to talk about a heart that God can use is a circumcised heart. This is a spiritual thing. We're relating a physical thing to a spiritual thing. The circumcision in the Old Testament was the sign of a covenant between Israel and God. Their male children were circumcised on the eighth day, and it was important that they waited to the eighth day. They didn't know at that time, but at that time, a child has what is necessary in his body to form blood clots and to keep the child from bleeding out. They didn't know that. Science tells us that now. But that's God. He knows every detail. He's very intricate. He leaves nothing out. But I want to go back and talk about this circumcision of the heart. Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. This is not a New Testament thing. You can find this in the Old Testament. It says, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. It is a process that is needed, that God does through the dwelling and indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But we have to take and accept what he's doing if we desire. Now, these men, they were about to go in and take Jericho. They didn't have cannons. They didn't have, you know, bombs and grenades. They didn't have the modern weapons. They had swords, clubs. Jericho was fortified. The wall, outside wall, was at least 3 stories high. What are they going to do with that? How are they going to defeat that? Save God. Ezekiel 11 and 19, I want to read another Old Testament scripture about circumcision of the heart so that you understand that this is not just an Old Testament, a New Testament idea. This is an Old Testament idea as well. It's all through the scriptures. Ezekiel 11:19. I'm going to read it in the Amplified because I like the wording of it because it helps me understand it. And it says, "And I will give them one heart, a new heart, and I put a new spirit within them, and I will take from them the heart of stone and will give them a heart of flesh that is responsive to my touch." My touch. My touch. Paul talked about this. He talked about it in the New Testament and well, but we're talking about a heart that will receive God, that will accept the nature that he put into us. You remember Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit? Let me read it. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit, the result of his presence within us, is love, unselfish, concern for others, joy, inner peace, patient, not the ability to wait, but how we act while we're waiting, that kind of patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law." Paul talked about it also in Romans 2:29, "But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And true circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit." It's not just an outward thing. It's an inward thing. Mary is a great example of a circumcised heart. "Be that unto me as you said," she said, told the angel. This is an unmarried woman about to find out she's going to be pregnant and have a child and not even married yet. And the laws of that day require death for that. That's the penalty. She's stoning, yeah. Mary was a great, humble-hearted person. David was great. He was a man after God's own heart, the Bible says. He waited 15 years for the promise of a king. And all this time, you know, he's not just running from his enemies. He's running from Saul. That's his father-in-law. That's the man he slayed a giant for his people. That's a man he went out and killed many, many, many of the enemy for his people, for that king. And he's running from Saul. 15 years. Boy, you talk about patience. And not just the kind that waits, but he actually had the opportunity in one of the caves to kill Saul. And his men wanted him to do it, but he took just a piece of his clothing. And he come out of the cave after Saul and his men left and said, "Here it is. I had the opportunity, but I would not touch and lay a hand on my Lord." How many of us get ahead of God with vengeance? I don't see vengeance in any of the fruit of the Spirit, do you? Although I'd like it to be sometimes. It's not there. I'm still being circumcised. My heart, I'm working on it. Peter is a good example. Peter walked with Jesus 3.5 years almost. Do you remember Peter? Peter told him he was the Son of the living God. And he told Peter, he says, "On this rock, I'll build my church." And then he tells him that he's going to die. And Peter brings him aside privately and rebukes him. Let it not be so. And you know what Jesus did? He said, "Satan, in the name of..." He says, "I rebuke you, Satan. Get behind me." Peter. Who had just blessed him with his mouth. He even told Peter, he says, "I prayed for you. He's going to come." He told him what was going to happen. "The clock's going to crow 3 times. You're going to deny me. But I pray for you that your faith fail you not. When you come back, strengthen the brothers." Do you remember the story? He's sitting in the courtyard. He'd followed Jesus to the house that they were doing the first judgment trial. And he's standing and warming himself by the fire, and he denies him 3 times. And at that very moment, according to Luke, Jesus looks up, and they lock eyes. And he remembers what the Lord told him, and he runs off and weeps bitterly. But he didn't leave him there, did he? Oh, that was a heart surgery. That was a hard lesson to learn, that circumcision of the heart. But Jesus is on the shore after his death and resurrection. And he's asking, "Do you have any fish? Come, eat." And he looks at Peter and he talks specifically to Peter. "Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my lamb." That circumcision hurt. It was hard to know what kind of person you really are, because you know what kind of person Peter is and most of us. For God I live until my skin, and I'm going to have to die, and then I won't. Let me see how I wrote it. It said, for God I live until I might die. And that's it. Circumcision of the heart. It's a hard thing when God shows you just how wicked your heart truly is. That's a surgery that nobody sees. Very rarely does anyone know about. But it's the inside, the Holy Spirit telling you how wicked you truly are. And it's time to work this out. So I have a few minutes, and I've talked my husband into helping me out here. So y'all be kind to him. He's going to be God to me. And God, you know, I am his daughter. So most fathers love to embellish their daughters. Any wives in here want to testify to that? Any daughters want to testify to that? So I have come into the kingdom, and he's always handing me good things. Let's see what he got for me today. Ooh, bling, bling, bling. Oh, I'll take that. Yeah, I love him. He loves me. Do you see that? He loves me. Oh, my gosh. Did you see what God did for me? Oh, he did something good for me. Look at that bling. Look at that bling, bling. Oh, this is my love language right here. Y'all know it, right? Hey, God, oh, no, I don't think I want your presence right now, though. I think I'll just enjoy my gift. Thank you. Thank you. Did you see what God gave me? I love his blessings. But he's seeking a deeper relationship. He's seeking a deeper relationship. He's drawn me to him again. Oh, what's in here? Sounds something good. We girls, we like that. Ooh. Ooh. You know, I got his ring. Now I got more of his bling. Ooh. See what God gave me? Isn't that beautiful? Look at that blessing God gave me. He's going to use me mighty because he blessed me so much. Look at this. Look at this. What else you got, God? No, I don't think I want your presence right now. I don't think I want you. You cause me to change too much. It hurts. I don't want to go down that path. I just want to enjoy the good things that you've given me. All the good things you've given me. But he keeps wooing me. And he's not buying my love by any means. But he loves me. Ooh. Oh, my goodness. Oh, many oysters. They suffered for this. I'll take this. Yeah, isn't that beautiful? I got plenty of outfits I can wear with that. Oh, God, I love you so much. Thank you. No, I don't want your presence right now. I don't want your presence right now. No, I think I'll just stay over here and praise you. Look at all my good stuff. Thank you, Lord. I go to church, shout, and dance. But I'm missing the most important thing. Is his presence. Because it hurts. But he never stops wooing me, does he? Something beautiful now. Look what he's given me, gold. Isn't it beautiful? He loves me so much. He's got more presents for me, but we're going to end it here. Because I think you understand the point. He wants a personal relationship. It's painful, I know. Because we're all born human, flawed, by Adam's and Eve's deceit and fall. But he can fix it all. And I can have this and peace and joy and love. And patience and kindness and gentleness. And because I keep refusing him, I can't be used by him. Because he needs someone in the field that will love the abused, the addicted, the unlovable, the unchurched, the ones that have been their whole life neglected. And he loves them so much. And Sonia, he says, come and let me heal you. Because when they see the hope that you have, and not just your stuff, They're going to want me. They're going to want me. And that's what I'm here for, right? As a child of God. A circumcised heart. I know it's not a fun thing. I know it's not a fun surgery. I know it hurts. I know when God shows me my heart, sometimes I'll say things and do things at work, and Holy Spirit checks me in that instant. Did you really have to say it like that? Maybe it would have been better if you said it this way. Do you think that you're a correct representation of God in this place by acting that way, by thinking that way? Have you ever had somebody that you really didn't like and something happens to them and you're sitting there going, they deserved it? It's a little celebration inside your heart. Nobody sees it. Nobody knows it. And God says, that's not the heart of God. I give you love to love them despite them not loving you. Don't take his stuff and not let him do the surgery of an uncircumcised heart. That's how you can be used of God. It's painful, I know, but it's so worth it in the end. Father, we thank you for your words, your understanding, Lord. Let the words come into our hearts and grow and take root, Father, that we could walk and be the men and women, God, we're called to be loved, to be joy, to be peace to those that don't even know you, may not even know that it's you that we have. Help us to be your representatives. Help us not to shy away from the circumcised heart. Give us wisdom and understanding as we walk this week and every day in our lives so that we could be the men and women of God we are called to be. Thank you that you love us so much. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.